You're listening to the podcast of Village Church in Burbank, California. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
The Central Valley of California in Dinuba. How many people have been to Dinuba? Actually, a lot of people. The church has probably been going to Gleanings now for 18 years or something, which is amazing. Thanks for your support. Chelsea and I and our five kids are missionaries from Village Church to what seems like a foreign country, which is about 25 minutes east of the 99 freeway toward the Sequoias there in Dinuba. And if you don't know, Gleanings for the Hungry is a mercy ministry of Youth with a Mission. We produce shelf-stable, nutritious food for Christian ministries internationally to equip the church to share the love of God through food, but not just food to feed the stomach, but the whole person. And that is to really make a way for the gospel, which really makes the change, right? The food will just kind of, it'll be like a one-time meal, but we know that the gospel is a meal that affects the rest of our lives. And so that's our ministry. I'm not really here to share about Gleanings. I'm here to get into the Word of God, which is one of my favorite things to do here at Village Church. I love being in this community. I was raised in this community. I remember being a little kid, and we used to do Awanas. I don't know, anyone did Awanas? It's kind of like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts with the Bible. And we used to like memorize the Bible. My brother's even here today. Did you do Awanas? We did Awanas, huh? I remember we did Olympics, and it was crazy. It was so much fun. But I was raised in this church, and I learned to memorize the Bible and love the Bible. And the Bible, of course, pointing me straight to Jesus and a relationship with Him. And so it's so good to be back. Thanks for your support. We're going to get right into it, okay? So I've asked Manfred if he can read our scripture for this morning. Manfred, we got a couple scriptures, Ezekiel 34 and John 10. There's a little bit of a section on each one, so hang with them, but listen in.
Four, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, I myself will seek my sheep and care for them. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his sheep, which are spread out, so I will care for my sheep. And I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I, the shepherd, I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will shepherd them in a good pasture. And their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lay down on good grazing ground and be shepherded in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will shepherd my flock, and I will make them lie down, declares Lord Yahweh. I will search for the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd them with judgment. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the shepherd hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings all his own out, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they will never follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of the strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, however, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd.
Amen. Thank you for reading that so well. He had a little practice last night. He was here for Saturday, and I kind of surprised him with four paragraphs. But thank you. The Word of God is so good. And I would encourage you to open the Bible during this time together to look at the actual Scripture, and especially zooming in on Ezekiel 34. And my question that I want to pose to us this morning, just to open up, is what does it mean to be the good shepherd? Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And just off the top of your head, like, what does that mean to you? Like, as you've grown up and heard and you've said the good shepherd, what does that mean, good shepherd? Yeah, someone share. What does that mean?
Nurturing.
Nurturing, okay.
Protection.
Guiding.
Attentive.
Attentive. Who said attentive? Attentive, yeah, attentive.
Shearing.
Second cousin to the pruner. Okay, right? Shearing, right? Shearing the sheep. Haircuts. Yeah, what else? The good shepherd.
Loving.
Loving, yeah. There's so much. Yeah, what? What's that?
Disciplining.
Yes. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wow, the good shepherd, man, I love this term, and I often, actually, it's a very devotional term for me. Like, when I pray, oftentimes I'll pray, good shepherd, guide me. Good shepherd, show me the way. I use this name in my own personal prayer time with the Lord, and it's funny, because when I think about it, I actually don't love the English words, because shepherd, I mean, good, we'll talk about it in a minute, but good is just kind of this very general word. It could mean great, and it could mean okay. It's like good. And then shepherd is basically two English-type root words crammed together, which is like sheep herd. Sheep herder or something like that. It's very like job description-oriented, right? It's what do? I herd sheep. I was kind of looking into this because as I was reading through the Bible, I'm like doing the Emmaus reading of the Bible, kind of. And I read the story in John about the walk to Emmaus and Luke. Luke is the road to Emmaus. And he says, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he showed them how all the scriptures were pointing and concerning himself. And I was like, I wish I had that time with Jesus where he could show me, like, let's start in Genesis. Here's me. Here's where I'm at. Here's this, here, like, showing me. And when I was reading through Ezekiel, and it was like, I myself will shepherd my sheep. I was like, oh my goodness. Jesus, when he declared, I'm the good shepherd, was saying, like, I am Ezekiel 34's shepherd. It is time. I'm raising my hand and declaring, I'm the good shepherd. And I was like, what does that even mean? And in the Hebrew language, I love this, because the Hebrew language isn't just like good sheep herder. The Hebrew language has these two words, roeh tov, okay? And I don't know if you've ever seen these words or heard of these words. How many of you have heard of tov? Anybody? Tov. You might have heard that word. And then roeh was new to me as well when I started to look this up. I got to recommend a Blue Letter Bible. It's kind of a great app where you can look at the original languages and get into the Strong's Concordance and all these. It's just amazing. And so I'm looking at, what does this mean, shepherd? And the word roeh is the person version of this phenomenon of ra'ah. Okay, so let's go to the first word. Ra'ah is the first Hebrew word. I want to like kind of really look at this for a second, because this talk is a talk about who Jesus is. Okay, and I feel like, you know, a lot of times when I come, I might be sharing last time about like what I'm learning from God. Last time was like a devotional message that took like one word from John, John 15. It was like, let's look at what it means to prune. And it was like this devotional, I shared kind of my devotional life. This time it's like, let's look and let the scripture show us who Jesus is and let that rise in our hearts and minds. And when I'm looking at this word, I'm like, Lord, teach me about who you are with ra'ah. And the word ra'ah is, of course, shepherd as a translation. It could, and this is more of like an action or like a verb or a phenomenon of like pasturing, to pasture, to take to pasture, to tend, to graze, to feed. It could even mean just to feed, to provide. Someone said to provide for, right? A shepherd. This is like as a shepherd or a herdsman or a shepherdess. But I love kind of the deeper meanings of this word ra'ah that aren't necessarily always associated with the agricultural like implementation. It's a relational word that is could mean like to associate with, to be a friend of, to be companions. And it's kind of funny. You think about shepherds and like the sheep, they are companions with the sheep. I remember the Simpsons doing like the sheep stuff. Remember anyone way back with their some of their musicals, and it was like all about sheep, and it was like the people and their friends are the sheep, a special friend. And even like beyond that, this word, like one person defined it as like ra'ah is like affection. Another word said it was basically loving, like whatever is included in love, whatever is needed to love and to care for or to look after, that is what you're going to find ro'eh doing. They're going to be doing ra'ah. And so I was like, man, that is so cool, because it's not just this job description word. It's like this carer for, lover of, like these beings. And then you tack on the word tov. And tov is also kind of a big general word in Hebrew, but they're, instead of having one word for good, they have like maybe three or four words for good. And some of the words mean like character and high morality. Some of them are having to do with quality, beauty, pleasure or pleasantness, something like that. There are all these different qualifications that kind of get in, kind of lumped into different words for good. But this word good, the thing that I love about this word good that is talking about the shepherd was the word that the Bible uses and that God uses when he first wants to describe his finished, unfallen creation. Finished, unfallen creation. You know what he said about it? It's tov. It's tov. It's, there's a sense, first of all, it's relational. Second of all, this is a word that comes straight out of the garden. So maybe we don't totally understand this word. But it's a word that's used in the Garden of Eden. And one person translated it perfect harmony. Like this has something to do with like what is being done or the quality or the essence of what is happening matches the fundamental like root system design of God for this world. It's like a design word, and it's relational as well. It's not alone. Tov has to do with a connection with something. Tov, so like the tov, the roe tov is like this garden lover of the beings. Isn't that crazy? It's just so deep, this word, good shepherd. And Ezekiel begins to talk about it hundreds of years before Christ, and he said, there is going to be a roe tov. He's going to come in person. So Jesus claims to be this and more, we're going to see. I love where Jesus takes this. And I got to say this, in Ezekiel, this statement of him coming to shepherd the sheep is good, but this goodness is actually pretty terrifying. It's terrifying, and it is restorative and wonderful and hopeful. And I want to just really show you really quick before we dive into Ezekiel's kind of three main sections on the Good Shepherd, that we are in this giant book of Ezekiel. How many of you are currently in the book of Ezekiel? Anybody? Probably not. Okay, and if you are, you probably listened to it on the Bible app, and it sounds like just a broken record saying, I will destroy you, but there's hope. I will destroy you, but there's hope. You know, and it's like this massive prophetic book that's really kind of a crazy book. The big picture of this book is in utter destruction, we're looking towards hope. And hope in the midst of terrible, terrible destruction. The big picture of the book is pointing forward from a very dark, sad, and terrible place toward a person, toward a person, not just a time, but more importantly, a person who restores all things, even to the point of bringing life from death, a new creation. I can't get into the full structure of Ezekiel. We just don't have the time, but you should. I do recommend, you know, the Bible Project guys. They do an awesome, it was so heavy, they had to break it into two parts. You should look into the overall structure of Ezekiel. It's incredible. But where we are in Ezekiel in 34 is right after 33 and going into 34. And I have to tell you, you know what happened in 33? The total destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. I mean, let me just translate that for Americans. That's like the Washington Monument has been knocked down. My son was just there on the D.C. trip with his school, and I can't imagine being like, we can't go on this trip because the Lincoln Memorial is burning, and the White House, whatever. I mean, that is what's happened, and there's already been a full attack on Israel by Babylon, and guess who got taken away? Ezekiel. And he's sitting on the banks of the river there in Babylon, and God is showing him these visions. I'm getting into it too much. I love it. Ezekiel's a crazy book, but he takes this vision. But then the vision pivots at 33 to 34. And from 33, first of all, everyone's blaming God. They're like, you know what we need to say after all this? That the ways of Yahweh, the great I am, are what? They're unjust. Well, they've come to that point. They're calling God unjust, just like they call Jesus Beelzebub. And what happens next? The very last part of that, 33, is a messenger comes to Babylon and said, exiles, it's finished, it's all over. The temple has been destroyed. And then 34. And 34 is the first chapter in the final section. It's the first chapter of hope. It's the first chapter of hope, specifically hope for the covenant people. God's chosen people, Israel. And it's in three sections, and I just want to briefly look at these three sections. It's God's word, the great I am's word to the shepherds of this people, Israel. I am against the shepherds. Okay, let's start there. Then the second part is I am's promises to personally step in and shepherd his people. I myself will shepherd my sheep. And each of these sections is kind of bookended by these statements. I am against the shepherds. I am against the shepherds at the end. I will personally shepherd. I will come and arrive and I myself, he said it right. I myself will shepherd the sheep. I myself will search for my sheep. And the third section is I am, the great I am's promise of judgments and covenant, a renewed covenant with the flock. So let's look into this really quick. So in the first part, he starts off, good shepherd, right? Ezekiel define good shepherd. First of all, he says, I got to tell you, when the good shepherd arrives, I'm against a couple things, which is not very typical of what we think about good shepherd. Who said he's against stuff? Well, guess what? He is. And you know what he's against? Brutal shepherds. Because you know what? And brutal shepherds aren't just like, oh, these are sinners, but God doesn't have mercy for them. No, these are people, and it really paints a picture for us here, is that brutal shepherds, first of all, they're meant to ra'ah the tzoni. The tzoni are not just tzon sheep, they're tzoni, my sheep. My sheep. And when he goes to see the shepherds giving ra'ah or love or affection or relationship or care for the sheep, guess what they're doing? They are ra'ah themselves. They're taking care, they're shepherding themselves. They're feeding, providing for all those things we said, themselves. And what are they doing for the sheep? They're not ra'ah the sheep. They're tiru the flock. They're not, the root of that is ra'ah. You are not caring for, feeding for, loving, relating to, belonging with the sheep. Instead, they hazka radah. Okay, and I'm no like Hebrew, scholar, but when I look into the original language, like these words are so deep and powerful. This word hazka or hazak, it means like To rule over harshly is the translation, or brutally. But the word picture here, radah, the root word radah, which is the action here, is like this treading of what people do to grapes or something. Like they're treading on them. You're ruling over them. You have dominion over them. And the qualifier to this word radah is harshly, or the word hazka, which this is a similar word to the words that I am, the great I am, told Joshua when they were going into the promised land. He said, hazak amatz, be strong and courageous. So instead of strengthening the sheep, taking care of them, he said, hazak the weak, strengthen the weak. But instead, that what they did with strength, they strongly stepped on the sheep. They were like crushing the sheep with their feet. The result is that the flock was scattered, broken. They became this word, and I was like, it said, one translation says, they became meat. And I was like, well, isn't that kind of what they're going to become anyway? I mean, what's wrong with that? But this word meat is so interesting, because for us, meat could be like, well, I like meat. You know, I'm going to barbecue later or something, you know. But this word meat is not that. It's whatever. It's like this picture. The words were, this is the object of being devoured by a wild animal, being consumed totally by a fire, or subjected to judgment. It is this word of being consumed. It is basically saying, shepherds, I'm against you. You know why? Because you have become the wild animals that they're supposed to be protected from. You are ravaging them. You are shredding their flesh and treading on them, and you're supposed to be ra'ah. What a crazy definition of the good shepherd. First of all, the good shepherd is not going to eat his sheep. He's not going to mangle them and devour them in, like, the word akla, meat, the object. And so what does he do? He said, I'm going to hold you accountable. Daras, darash, I'm going to come and, like, seek out from your hands. What do you have in your hands? Do you have are you ra'ah, my sheep, or are you, like, eating them? Like, have you ever heard the term wolf in sheep's clothing? It's like, we have the ability as Christian leaders, as spiritual leaders, to become wolves in sheep's clothing, where we start using our appetites on our flock. That is not, that the Lord is against that. I never want to come to a point where the Lord is kind of saying to me in his word and in my devotional time, I have to be against you. I have to be against you at this point, because you're using your appetite on the sheep instead of ra'ah. He removes them. He said, I will come and I will rescue my sheep from your mouth. Wow. That's the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am that. I am the Roi Tov. He says this, the second section, he says, I myself, this is the section we read, I myself will come. I'm not a hired hand. I'm going to come and I'm going to be with my sheep myself. I'm going to spend some time personally with my sheep. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go get them. And I mean, there's so many things here. I myself will search for my sheep. I will look after my sheep when I am with them. I will rescue them from all the places where they went. I'll bring them back from the nations. I will bring them into their own land. This term, bring them back, is like, there's a word in there that I love, and we talked about it last night. It's the word shub. Like, it's a Hebrew word, but the root is shub, S-H-O-O-B in our pronunciation. Everyone say shub. Okay, say it louder. Shub. Okay, shub is like this. It is the word of the prophets. What is the word of the prophets? What do they tell the people of Israel? Repent or return to me, and I will return to you. Don't rend your garments, rend your heart, and return to me, the God who loves you, rich in compassion. Return to me. Why are you going to these nameless gods of stone? Return to me. And he said, you know what this word is? He said, I'm going to go out and bring them back. Literally, it's like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to shub you. I'm going to shoob you back to the pastures, to the land. I love how God's promises aren't just for our heart spiritually. They are literally for the physical land. For the physical land of Cuba. The physical land of Cuba will be affected because of the gospel is entering. He goes so deep in this. I'm going to go out and find you. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to shoob you. I'm going to give you this land. The land, man, there's so much. I was telling my wife, I'm like, this is like a four-part series, which is like all my talks are like a four-part series crammed into one. But he says, I'm going to bring you back to this Adama Tov, like this land, which it's like Adama, it sounds like man. Adam, it's like, yes, like earth. I'm going to bring you back, Eretz, the land. I'm going to bring you back to this good earth. I'm going to bring you back to the garden. I'm trying to head to the garden. That's where God's going with all this. He's going to restore the garden. And you know where it started? Last week we celebrated it on Easter Sunday. He inaugurated the kingdom of God is now advancing, and we're part of that. And I can't wait to tell you a little bit about that, the story in the end, so I got to go quick now. Quicker than I am, okay? So he said, you know what? I'm going to take you back, and guess what? This good land, this Tov land, this Tov land, he says it over and over again, good pasture, grazing land, good grazing land, rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. You know what they were doing? They were using the mountains of Israel to worship other gods. You know what they were doing? In Ezekiel and Isaiah, it tells about how they were burning children and throwing their bones into a pile. And he goes, you know what? That's where you're going to end up. I'm against the eating of the sheep. I myself will tend the sheep. He repeats it. And he says, and I will search for them. And once I have my flock back together, then I'm going to go out for the one once I got the 99. Who does that sound like? Come on. This is like pointing forward to Jesus. And the blind and the injured I will strengthen. What you didn't do, I will do. How many times do we see Jesus actually literally go out and look for blind people and say, what can I do for you? He was being the good shepherd. And then he finishes up by saying, so I liked the first part because he's like, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to come back and I'm going to restore good. But then he says, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. It's like, wait a minute, the good shepherd doesn't destroy anything. No one said he destroys. He destroys the sleek. The word sleek is like the word for kind of fat. He's like, I'm going to, and it's like, so what? You don't want any good, plump, fat sheep in your pen, in your flock? And he's like, not at this time. You know why? Because the way you got like big and strong and fat and healthy is because you were eating and abusing the other sheep. So anyone who has signs that you're not part of this flock, we're not doing that anymore. We're not doing that anymore. We're gonna shoob from that. And he finishes with the section with this statement. I will shepherd, I will ra'ah the flock with justice, with mishpat. And Pastor Ryan has talked about this word a bunch over the last few years. Mishpat and tzedek, like these words. Like this is a two descriptive words that describe the eternal trajectory of God's creation. We are headed toward righteousness and justice. Like, this is the goal. This is how we will describe when there will be no more tears, what Revelation describes. It will be tzedek, and it will be mishpat. And he said, and I will be a shepherd of mishpat. There will be justice. Now, for some, justice is very scary. For others, justice is like, finally. I can't believe it's true that there will be mishpat. There will be justice. I want to give you this, because of the sake of time, I want to give you this next section to look at on your own, okay? It's an amazing section where he said, I'm going to also judge the sheep. Once I've removed and held accountable the shepherds, I'm going to actually judge the sheep as well. And we see Jesus do this in the New Testament because he judges the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the over-religious, and he also tells the sinners that he loves. He said, go and leave your life of sin. So no one gets a free pass, but they get the mercy and they get all the ra'ah, don't they? They get all the ra'ah of the good shepherd. And it talks about in this section how he's going to judge the sheep as well. In fact, out of four or five verbs, only one is to save. The rest are, I will shafat, I will judge, which is the action. It's the moment of mishpat. It's the step-by-step And I'm already getting into this section. I got to skip it. Okay? He's going to judge. But then he's going to covenant. And it talks about how he's going to actually send his servant David. I want you to read that section. The shepherd, there will be a, will David raise from the dead? Or is this a shepherd king will arrive? I've spoken, says the Lord. Here's a couple insights, and then I want to tell you a story. I'm going to just read these insights, okay? It says, the Gospels show us Jesus living out Ezekiel's promises. I think we've seen that. Just read the Gospels and then go back to Ezekiel 34. Spiritual leadership is a very serious and personal commitment. How many of you in spiritual leadership of any kind? You know that it's a very personal commitment and it's very serious. Spiritual leadership must not abuse the flock or gain for our appetites. Spiritual leadership demands deep personal sacrifice and sincere care. I mean, it's kind of nice to be a leader and to get position, but it's also like, do I care? I feel like that is what comes up in our prayers. Do you care for the ones in front of you? Do you care for the ones in front of you? Or have they become akla to you? Meat. Spiritual leadership is a God-given privilege to co-shepherd with him. Isn't that cool? I love these images in the Bible because it's like somehow in this image, the sheep become a shepherd. And I'm like, well, are they animals or are they human in this metaphor? He's like, yes. It's kind of like a dream, right? It's like, wait, I was dreaming of these sheep and suddenly they were people. And it's like, this is God's way. He invites us to shepherd with him. He believes we can do it. Just judgment is essential to shepherding in love. Just judgment is essential, not opposed, to shepherding in love. We shouldn't be surprised that God, the good shepherd, is just. I hope he's just. He judges both the shepherds and the flock. That one was obvious. Both Ezekiel and Christ rebuked self-centered leaders. We can trust the Lord to protect his flock. I love that one. You know what? Like those pastors in Cuba, all those years, no diplomacy, no connection with Cuba. There's been some faithful shepherds that Dave knows. He provided them to protect that flock. We can trust God to protect his flock. I'm going to tell you a story about God in the midst of protecting his flock. We are sheep, and we need the presence of our shepherd. We need it. John 10, there's a scripture here. He's more than Ezekiel's shepherd. You know what Jesus said? He goes, I'm the good shepherd. I'm Roi Tov. And you know what else that Ezekiel didn't mention? You're about to see me lay down my life for the sheep. He makes this crazy escalation of the word good shepherd. And he said, you know what? Just like the sheep became shepherds, the shepherd is actually going to become, what does John the Baptist call him? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. He became the youngest and weakest and most vulnerable of the sheep to lay down his life and shed his blood so that we can have it over our door and we can come under his blood and say, Lord, save me. That's what we celebrated last week. He did that for us. He came to that which was his own, but his own rejected him. But to those who did accept him, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. I want to tell you a story because I've been in a season of praying this. God, I don't know if I'm a good shepherd. I'm just a human. I'm just a man. And I have the responsibility of shepherding people. And like, I don't want to be a brutal shepherd and treat people like akla, ever. I don't want to, you guys know what I mean, akla, I use that because I'm looking at it, but meat. I don't want to treat the people that are with me like meat. I want to love them and ra'ah them. Lord, correct me, show me, I want to be a good shepherd. Teach me to be a good shepherd with you, if I am a shepherd at all. And I feel like the Lord showed me an answer to this question when I called one of our partners at Gleanings, which we send the food that you guys come and make, many of the food that you have personally bagged, the hands that touch those bags, the next hand to touch them was one of our partners making soup, giving soup to people. The bags, that, and it's guaranteed, the bags that you've made have gone to this country. I said, what's the story on your heart? She said, I got to tell you this story, and I have 3 minutes to share it. Okay, here's the gist of the story. She goes, I used to travel this main road. It has construction right now, so I started using this road I never use, and I saw this little boy who's got a backpack on with some feathers sticking out of it, and he's got a slingshot. So I'm like, what is this? So she goes to the little boy. He runs off. She stops the car. He runs off. The little boy, she sees him right near this little area of the road all the time, and so she's like, you know what I did, Andy? She said, I went and got my keys. She's like, you know what my keys are? Gleaning soup, gleaning oatmeal, and gleaning peaches, because I'm about to open the door to the hearts of people. She goes, those are my keys. I love that revelation. He holds the keys to death and Hades. Now I know what they look like. They look like soup mix, and they look like oatmeal. I thought they were big golden keys, you know? But it's like humble little chicken feed soup mix, and it's like, I'm about to bang on the gates of hell and rescue some little lambs. And so she goes, and I go. I just go back to the warehouse, and I put him out by the side of the road, and she said, I know you're not supposed to talk to strangers. This is for your family. I'm not here to hurt you. She drives away. She sees him go up into the hill. They're neighbors. He goes up into the little hill behind this road. So she sends one of her guys, say, go up there and look around. He goes, yep, there's some people up there. There's a little family. So she goes up there with some Captain Crunch. Do we have that picture? There they are. Okay, she finds this little boy, David. He's the boy with the slingshot. He's got an older sister, Rachel, and his little brother, Isaiah. Okay, and so she goes up. Now, she brings them Captain Crunch. Why? Because they love Captain Crunch. This is probably their first time they ever had Captain Crunch. Okay, so she goes up, takes care of them. She what does she do? What amazing Gleanings partners do. They go and they give the food and they say, would you like to invite Christ into your life right now? He's going to change everything. They share the gospel. The grandmother who's there with them received Christ, so do the kids. So now Jesus is in this family. Where's mom? She's working somewhere. So she comes back. She's going back. This was last June. She keeps coming back. One day she comes back. There's no one there. She's like, guys, where are you? Hello. And she hears the kids. They're locked in a room in this little shanty house. And where's the grandma? She finds out the grandmother passed away. Was she right on time to share the gospel? She finds them locked in the house, and there they are. And so she's slipping food to them because they're in there. They're going to be in there all day, and mom's going to come home and bring them some meal. You know, maybe some corn or something like that. Well, he can't go out and hunt for iguanas and birds anymore, and so they're locked in the room. So she is like, she tells me, Andy, pray. I need God's idea because there's no quick answer to poverty. And so she's praying, and then so she goes up, and I'm going to shorten this story a little bit, but anyway, she ends up going up, finding them locked in again. She knows the mom, so she gets the kids out, and she brings them to the mission, and they have a pool party. They have this pool party, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Jesus is entering this family and taking over. There's bringing joy and food and provision and ra'ah. And so I get this message from Miriam, our partner, and she goes, I have horrible news. She goes, Rachel told me that when at the pool party, she said, my mom is selling me. She said, she told you she's working, but my mom's selling me. And I'm like, no, that's not ra'ah. And she's like, so I'm going to go to the authorities for mishpat. I'm going to go to get some justice. I'm the only one that's going to bring mishpat, that's going to fight for mishpat for this little lamb, Rachel. And so she goes and she tells the authorities, and they go and talk to the mom, and the person who's buying her leaves town. How many of you care about human trafficking? Much of our food goes to people in trafficking situations. She goes for justice. They're trying to help her. They don't really do much other than kind of scold the mom. The mom has to stay home and be with the kids. Otherwise, they're going to take the kids away. And so the man flees town. And so I'm talking to our partner about it, and updates, and she sends me another brutal text message. She goes, appreciate your prayers. Rachel is pregnant. You can see she was likely already pregnant in this picture, but didn't know it. Our staff is praying for her, and we're definitely continue to pray. How old is she? I didn't have enough space to show you. 12 years old. My Rosie is 12 years old. And I'm like, no, God, what? Is Miriam, like, I thought she was right on time, but I think she's too late. And God's like, you don't know what I'm doing. I am Roe Tov, and I'm going after the one. I feel like Israel when their temple was burned. I'm like, forget it. All is lost. But I'm here at Gleanings bagging this little soup mix with you guys, and I'm like, what we do matters. Because it gives people to go out and Roe Tov these little lambs that are being eaten like akla. And I'm like, you're our only hope, Jesus. Like, we need you to intervene personally. We need you. I myself will show up for that little lamb. I am going to shepherd the sheep. First of all, I'm against. How many of you know that this little girl needs some serious mishpat? Like, when I say the word justice, it raises this level of excitement in us. But when I say judgment, it's like this difficult word from the church. And because it's not ours, it belongs to the Good Shepherd. But the Good Shepherd will bring judgment and justice. They're actually the same word. We like one, but we don't like the other when they're actually the same word. But here's a moment where we all know, please, who is going to do something to bring mishpat for Rachel? And I'm like, Lord, I feel like Ezekiel, where it's like, all I can do is look at your scriptures and celebrate Easter and say, I know the Good Shepherd is coming. I know his promise is good to make all things new. And we are part of that. Village Church, you are part of that. You are part of the one person who is acting out the Roe Tov for this little girl who has moved from the States, given their life to go be a good shepherd. This partner has 110,000 children that eat every day from the feeding programs. And she stops on the road on going out and sees one little lamb and follows it up into the pasture. And God's like, this is your answer. This is what it means to be Roe Tov, to lay down your life for the sheep. So join me in prayer for Rachel and for Isaiah and David, because they're probably subject to. And I don't want to tell you a story of utter destruction. I want to tell you that we have hope in Jesus. I believe that there will be a time. There's not a pretty bow on the end of this story on earth or right now, but I believe I will report to you the breaking down of walls. You will break down every wall and watch the giants fall. We sing about this stuff. Every wall. I believe he's going to break it down. I believe that he rose from the grave.
Thank you for listening to today's message. To learn more about Village Church, visit our website at villagechurchburbank.org.